Where I've been for the last 13 months.
Welcome, aviators, to another episode of Aviator Cast. Load up your flight bag with useful flight training topics, interviews, and aviation passion. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. Coming to you from Angle of Attack Headquarters in Homer, Alaska, here's your host and flight instructor, Chris Palmer.
Hey, aviators, Chris Palmer here. Man, it's been a long time. It's a little bit awkward hitting record after all this time, but I feel like it's finally time to do it. And so on this episode of Aviator Cast, I'm just going to act like you're sitting across from me and we're going to talk as though we're friends, or this is going to be, I guess, more of a one-way conversation, bit of a diatribe for me. But I'm going to tell you where I've been, what I've been up to, at least the big highlights, which a lot of you may have been seeing through social media and elsewhere. But for you podcast listeners, I thought I would reach out and start all this up again. You know, the podcast has been a really valuable asset for me. I started this podcast back in 2014. I feel like podcasts have only gained in popularity, and it is just a really good outlet to share information. And recently, as I've been traveling a little bit, I've been listening to audiobooks, and it's just such a great way to pass the time is to listen to something that's valuable and useful. So I thought that firing up Aviator Cast again would be a quality thing to do. So a lot has been happening in my world, and I thought I would share with you guys some of the things that have been going on. So the last time I post an episode would have been May of 2020, which seems like light years ago now. It's over 13 months from posting this podcast, or maybe a little bit less than that. It might even just be a year, but still quite a long time. And a lot has been going on since then. Obviously, you know, I hate to beat a dead horse here, but COVID was quite a year. We're always going to remember 2020 as the COVID year, and it made a lot of things very interesting. And so a lot of the things we usually would have been doing, like a lot of these air shows and travel and things, didn't happen. And many of those things were replaced with other things or just sticking close to family, which was definitely the case for me. So I'm going to just kind of walk you guys through the timeline, what things were like, where I've been, what I've been doing, because a lot of things have happened in the last year. It's kind of hard to summarize all those things. And so I do plan on separating out some of these subjects that I'm going to be talking about into their own separate podcasts, because they do deserve kind of a breadth and a depth that is worth, I guess, investigating more. And that'll make more sense as I go on and share with you guys quickly here what I've been up to. I don't want to keep this too long. Just want to give you guys a quick update. I want to get used to posting a podcast again and then hear from you. So let's get after it. So first and foremost, even with COVID, last year ended up being a really good time for me with flying. I had a handful of good students and ended up flying a lot in the Alaska summer last year. Ended up being a really good year for that. And did quite a bit of work. I had a student come in, her name was Nicole, and she worked on her commercial and her CFI with me, and we ended up flying a lot together. Had another student, Annalyn, who worked on her private pilot. And just had a handful of good students and really utilized the good summer flying weather to do those sorts of things. I did get to go out on a handful of good adventures here in Alaska as well, some of which you guys have already seen on the YouTube channel, which has been growing all this time. Namely, I did some clamming where we went and landed on the seafloor, if you will, as the tide went out, and we got some razor clams. I went to a squint and a fly-in. I did some seaplane training. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So a lot of flying last summer, which obviously slowed down a little bit in the winter. I'll tell you guys more about that too. So just a really good flying year last year. Definitely grew as an aviator, grew as an instructor. And I'm getting really eager to fly again this year. As of recording this podcast, it's June 2nd, and I just got home from a big trip. Again, I'll tell you guys more about that. And I'm really looking forward to flying. The weather's great, and it's just time to go, and do a lot of training. So that's really going to be picking up here within the next few weeks. So I did some of my own training as well. I ended up doing my commercial seaplane rating in Talkeetna, Alaska, in the second part of June, or really the end part of June last year, which was a really fun time for me to get to put myself back in the student pilot seat and learn once again in such a challenging environment. I really have always enjoyed floats, and I've done it here and there with some friends and some other instructors, but I've never done anything on an official level. So it was really good to get back into it and really go in earnest after an actual check ride and after a rating. So ended up spending 3 days up in Talkeetna. You fly twice a day the first 2 days, and then the last day you fly in the morning, kind of a mock check ride, and do your check ride in the afternoon. So 6 total flights. Had a really good time there. It's a really great vibe at Alaska Floats and Skis, where I learned. Just so happened that my student Nicole, whom I mentioned, was doing her commercial land check ride at the same time. So that kept me a little bit more busy than usual, and my family was there. A lot of that is documented through some really great YouTube videos that I'm pretty proud of that you guys can go check out. And we'll be wrapping that series up here in the next little bit. Even though it happened almost a year ago, it takes a long time to get these videos in the queue and get them edited. So we're just finishing that series. I think you guys will really enjoy it. Kind of a lot to learn. You know, even me as an instructor with a good amount of time, there was a lot of learning moments for me. A lot of growth, a lot of things that I can take and even take into my wheeled world, if you will, and use it. So great time, great learning, and just really enjoyed that process there. So things progressed on from there and flew here and there, did some fishing, which I haven't done much in other years, but because of COVID and some things, ended up fishing a little bit more this summer. The best fishing time is actually air venture time. So that's kind of a bummer, but I definitely took advantage of it this last year, and celebrated my 10th anniversary in Alaska in the meantime. Did a video on that on YouTube, and just, I don't know, just really tried to settle down and enjoy things. So obviously, a lot of what I do is work-related around aviation. You know, the work I do is to share and promote aviation, also to educate. I have online ground school, which you guys have heard about before, but I do an online ground school. That's my main source of income. I also do YouTube videos, which help kind of promote that. And I run a flight school. So it's pretty difficult to run a flight school in Alaska with all the weather. You know, winter is obviously an obvious hard time to run a flight school because of all the rain and the ice and the snow. It just makes it really, really difficult to get the airplane airworthy for flying with getting all the snow and the ice off the airplane. So I kind of came to this place where I found myself really wanting and being ready for a hangar. And there aren't a lot of them available here in Homer, Alaska. It's actually quite expensive to get one. But because of the nature of my work and all of the things I do, I figured, hey, having a hangar, a safe space for the airplane, my office, where I do a lot of the digital work, like recording this podcast, film work in a studio, if you will, and, you know, a shipping location to ship out all the merch I ship out. It just kind of made sense that to have a larger space, to have a safe place for the airplane, a hangar would make a lot of sense. So I got a hangar in November of last year. I've had it since. I'm very, 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 very happy with the decision. It's really enabled me to do a lot more with my business and just move forward in a really positive way. So that's been one of the biggest boons for the business in this last year, is adding the hangar. Been making it my own space, been trying to keep it organized. It's even had other ancillary benefits, like a wonderful place for my boys to play. They're 4 and 2, and they just really love being here and playing with airplanes and enjoying the environment. It's become a really special place that way. So a lot of other benefits to it as well. But that's huge, because now I have a place where I can work on the plane. We don't have to worry about weather. We can pull it right out of the hangar. And I ended up flying a lot this last winter, more than I ever had before, because of that. Because I didn't have the 3 hours of pre-flighting that needed to be done. We could literally just pull it right out of the hangar and go. So that was a huge, huge help. So I've been trying to work on, apart from that, I've been trying to work on this process of buying 2-3 uniform. And you guys have seen 2-3 uniform in most of my videos that I've done over the last several years. It's a 1963 172. It's pretty nice inside. Definitely doesn't look beat up like a 63. It's had a little bit of work done to it. The outside is a little bit beat up and definitely could use a paint job. It's not the perfect airplane, but I'm really familiar with the airplane and I'm happy with how it performs. It's a good Alaskan airplane. And I've been talking to my neighbor, Daniel, who you guys have also seen through some of my media, who's the owner of the airplane. I've been leasing it from him for 3 or 4 years now, I guess 4 years now. And so I approached him a year or so ago about potentially buying the airplane because I've been looking ahead and wanting to update the airplane to instrument. And it didn't make sense to put all this money into avionics if I didn't own the plane. And so things just kind of naturally progressed. And then I went through this whole process of trying to buy the plane when I was finally ready to really commit, looking for financing, which ended up being impossible to find. Especially putting my own name on the line, which I really didn't want to do. And just trying to find a way to get the plane. And it's not that it's an expensive plane, but it ended up becoming a very difficult process and didn't happen for quite a while. It just so turns out that everything kind of happened in February where financing came through for the airplane in one way or another. And I won't get into they're pretty personal, private business details that I don't really want to share, but I can share with you in a personal message if you want. But ended up getting financing for the airplane, finding a way to get that done, and then immediately pivoting into upgrading the airplane, which I'll talk about next. But that whole process of buying a plane was very interesting. Obviously, having a good history with the airplane was big for me, and I didn't have to do a ton of due diligence like you would usually have to do with purchasing an airplane, but it was a big deal for me because it really, I guess, puts my business on the line with this big asset now and a big liability. And so I crossed that threshold into airplane ownership for the first time, which is both a very cool process and also a very not cool process because of all the liability. But I'm very grateful for it. I'm very grateful for this opportunity to have bought 2-3 Uniform. And then there's this whole unraveling of what's to come next, because obviously I'm buying the plane so that I can upgrade the plane. So that leads me into our next topics of where am I going to update it? What am I going to update, et cetera, et cetera. So kind of turns out that I have this friend that I've known for a handful of years. Her name is Jessica Veruda, and her and I have kind of been around as we've, I guess, matured in our careers and what we want to do for a living. I met Jessica when I was working on my instructor license down in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and she was an Instagrammer and took great photos, and so we met up and did a little bit of flying together. She was a rusty pilot. I was an instructor looking to instruct, and so I got to fly around with her a little bit and teach her, if you will, just kind of getting her back up to snuff. So that's how I met Jessica. Her and I have, you know, had different parts of our career. She was spent time in Oklahoma, Florida, back at Oshkosh, back in Florida. And then she ended up, you know, as I'm growing my flight school, she ended up back in Wisconsin, back in Oshkosh at an avionics shop called New View Avionics, or New View Technologies rather, right there in Oshkosh. So the north side of the field, you know, obviously Whitman Field is famous for Air Venture that happens in July. It's a regular airport every other week of the year, and they have an avionics shop there. So Jessica and I have talked for a long time about potentially working there, or, you know, having my panel done there as kind of a promotional piece for their business and for my business, and her and I getting to work on this very serious, very adult project, if you will. Again, her and I kind of getting into the maturity of our careers here. So we laid out a plan. As soon as I had bought the airplane, we were basically ready to execute this panel that her and I had kind of mocked up already, and to get the airplane from Alaska all the way down to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which was quite the trek. Now, because of the nature of my business, being, and I hate the term, but being an influencer, if you will, there were a lot of business reasons to take the airplane down to Wisconsin rather than having it done in Alaska. You know, New View was going to benefit greatly from having my project there and good visibility on their business. We worked with a handful of manufacturers on the panel and the airplane, which I'm very eager to share with you guys that entire process. So it made sense for me to make that 3,000 mile journey down to Wisconsin, which is a huge commitment for me and for my family. So things really moved fast this year. From buying the airplane, designing the panel all this time, to suddenly I was ready to get the panel installed, and I had to get it down there quickly because I wanted it done before the busy flying season. So it's just like everything moved really quickly. So bought the airplane and it was time to go. So I ended up flying the airplane down with my friend Daniel, who previously owned the plane. We flew it down the first week of March to potentially get it done around AirVenture time, or around Sun and Fun time, which was like 6 weeks or something. Very ambitious timeline that didn't work out, by the way. But so he and I flew it down there in March. That is a whole story in and of itself, and definitely deserves its own podcast, maybe even a two-part podcast, something like that. But we flew the plane from Homer, Alaska, down to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, in the heat of winter, through some of the most remote parts of Canada, in terms of where like civilization is. There are very, very remote parts of Canada, but we followed the Alcan Highway down and had a really good trip. I mean, the weather was fantastic, but it was a very stressful process because of COVID and all the restrictions, and ended up just being a whole thing. And obviously we want to take very seriously the survivability if we had to make a forced landing somewhere. So we took a bunch of survival equipment and took very seriously all of our flight planning and everything. It just ended up being a very involved process to get the plane down to Oshkosh. And definitely a growth experience for me, a growth experience for Daniel. And man, that's a story in and of itself, but ended up working out pretty well. You know, just like a little part of the story, just as we were coming into Oshkosh there, it was the final day after 4 days of really hard flying, and our vacuum pump failed. So that means that we lost our attitude indicator, our directional gyro. At night, it was the only time we had flown night the entire trip, because that was kind of one of our rules. But we were a half hour from Oshkosh, it turned night, and then we lost our attitude indicator. Now, it was really clear conditions, so it's not like we were flying IFR. We had good visibility. We had synthetic vision from ForeFlight there to help us out. But it's kind of interesting because it's like the airplane held on the entire time, until the last minute, if you will, when we were almost landing in Oshkosh and gave up the vacuum system, which wasn't going to be used after we got everything upgraded. So it was going to be taken out anyway. So I just thought that whole process was really interesting. Yeah. So that's kind of where things ended up. Dropped the plane off there. It went through a very, very extensive panel upgrade. Essentially, everything was replaced or overhauled. The only things that are original on the panel are one or two of the original six-pack instruments, the ignition switch, and because, you know, what's the point of replacing your keys and stuff like that? And I think that's it. Everything else on the panel is brand new. All the radios, all the instruments, all of the switches and knobs and the blank panel itself that was CNC'd. It's a very, very beautiful setup if you guys haven't seen that. And I'm just really grateful for it. It's very capable. Yeah, I mean, I have so much to say about it, but that whole story is going to be unraveling for months and months now. So went through that process, ended up taking longer, ended up delaying my going there and picking it up. I was trying to pick it up around Sun and Fun. That didn't work out. Ended up going back about a month later. And even then, it took longer. Now, one thing I learned from this process, and I want to be very clear, is there's no black eye here for NewView. I got to be there for about 10 to 12 days. It's all a blur now. But at the very end, 10 to 12 days, to witness the end of this entire install process. And this is such an involved type of work that just takes time and you have to get it right. And so I was there to witness that entire thing come together. We got everything in like before my eyes. I got there and it just seemed like wires were everywhere and nothing was together. And I got to see that all come together and just how detailed that work is. But I have a tremendous amount of respect now for what it takes to put a panel together and the intensity and the amount of work that goes into this is just crazy to me. And you really don't understand it until you see it with your own eyes and how everything comes together and why you can't just slap everything together. Because if you're doing it right, you got to do it right. You don't put that much money into a panel and just throw it all together. The panel is beautiful both in front and behind. It's very well designed behind the scenes with where the cables are tied together and all that sort of thing. It takes a lot of work. That's a very long story to tell though, and I'm going to be releasing a lot of YouTube material on that. So definitely stay tuned for that. But then it came to this point when I needed to fly the plane home. The plane finally got done and really not long ago at this point, got done on the 22nd of May, which was just a week ago now. Let's see. Let me pull up my calendar here. About a week and a half ago, it got done. And then I immediately started flying it back from Wisconsin. Flew from Oshkosh to Minneapolis, IFR, right away. Had my IPC done in Wisconsin and flew hard IFR right away in this brand new, or, you know, 2-3 uniform 2.0. Flew at IFR to Minneapolis where I picked up my friend Daniel again, who had flown down with me, and he and I linked up to fly at home. Ended up doing a bit more IFR the first day that he and I flew out of Bismarck, North Dakota, into Bismarck and out of Bismarck, and then a little bit more here and there. But then it was pretty clear skies from there. We did pretty well. Again, this is an entire podcast talking about all the lessons learned and the things that we did flying through Canada and what it takes. It's just a lot. I mean, it's exhausting. It's, you really have to watch your I'm safe checklist. There's a lot of get there-itis, especially after not seeing my family for so long, which I didn't really plan. There's just a lot of pressures that are pushing on you to get the mission done, get home. And I'm excited to share with you guys how that all worked out in a separate podcast where I can share some of the details. So we got that. We got it all the way up here. And that was just before. That was last week. So literally, I'm recording this on a Wednesday. So last Monday, I got home. And then I had just a few days to prepare for and rest before we headed to the Valdez Stoll competition for Memorial Day weekend, which is the world famous original Stoll competition in Valdez, Alaska, of which I do a video for. I do their video streaming there. So I literally got home from that last night, and now here I am recording the podcast. So as you can see, my world has been in this big whirlwind, and I've been trying to think a lot about where things fit in terms of the media that I produce and the things that I share. And I've been doing a lot. I've been progressing a lot. I've been working a lot this last year on the flight school side of things, I guess the core things that I need to move forward, a lot of that having to do with the airplane, where now I can share a lot more of the instrument knowledge, the instrument side of training now. So I'm really excited about that. Obviously entering aircraft ownership, hangar ownership, upgrading the panel. I mean, a lot has happened in the last year, and that's only going to benefit you guys in learning something new and having a new avenue in which to consume content from Angle of Attack. So that's kind of where we're at now. I'm home. This is my first day back at the hangar. I had some people stop by that were picking up some 4Flight swag from 4Flight's flyout, and it's flying time, man. It is summertime in Alaska. the last few weeks that it's just boomed and is beautiful and green and the weather is semi-warm. At least not freezing like it has been. So it's go time with this beautiful new airplane, new to me airplane that I've got sitting behind me here in the hangar. And I'm ready to go. I'm excited. I've got a lot of students lined up and I'm really excited to get going. So that's where I'm at. I'm in the whirlwind right now. And I just wanted to create a podcast today to reach out to you guys and share a little bit about where I am. I think this is kind of going to be the format for a little bit going on here, because I am going to be so busy with flight training and recording videos and improving the ground school and so on and so forth. But if I can just check in with you guys and kind of give you updates on what's been going on and finding value in that for you guys, I think that's going to be great. Obviously, there's a lot that I can share from the trips that I've taken, from the process of upgrading an airplane. I think those are all subjects that just you would benefit from laser focus on those rather than just the kind of the 30,000 foot view that we've talked about today. So that's kind of what's been happening with me. I want to share that process with you, all of those things from the commercial seaplane rating, getting a hangar and what's gone into that, buying the airplane, flying to Wisconsin, flying from Wisconsin, upgrading the airplane. There's just so much to share. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And for what I'm doing now, sharing with you guys, you know, what's going on in Alaska this summer, I think will be really cool for you. And then I'll maybe speckle some interviews in here and there. But the biggest thing for me is just to hit record and give you guys some insight into what's been going on at Angle of Attack. And I think that'll be useful for many of you. So that is it for this episode. Thanks for hanging around. As you know, the main thing I do here at Angle of Attack is online ground school. So if you or someone you know is looking into doing online ground school from Angle of Attack or really learning to fly at all, we've got a private course, a private pilot course. We've got an instrument course. And we'll have other courses coming out in the future. It's all online based on our website. You literally sign up and you can start taking the training now. You go through and you prepare yourself for the knowledge test. And then you're ready to take the test after some practice tests. And that's it. You get to learn from me. And you get to help Angle of Attack out in the meantime to keep producing all this media that we produce. So thanks to you guys for doing that and spreading the word. Also, check ride prep. We've got that through Check Ride Ace. If you're getting ready for a check ride, that's always really helpful. Most of all, thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the community. I very much look forward to sharing more with you guys this summer. There's a lot going on, much more to come. It's kind of never ending, but it's all good. And I hope you are enjoying the process and learning something along the way. So we'll leave it there for this time. And until next time, throttle on.
We sincerely thank you for joining us on Aviator Cast. Please subscribe through your favorite podcast service and leave a review. Check out more flight training resources at angleofattack.com. There you can find this podcast, many free aviation training videos, as well as online ground school for private instrument, commercial, and CFI. Got a check ride coming up? Check Ride Ace from Angle of Attack is your ultimate companion, guiding you through the process so you can conquer your big day. Thanks once again for joining us on Aviator Cast. Turn left, contact Ground Point Niner.